Welcome to the Songwalk Echoes podcast. I'm Jeff Peterson, inviting you to join Soundwalk Echoes founder Don Prisby and me as we recall the beauty of our Catholic legacy through music, art, scripture, and story. Let's take a song walk.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I. Be still and know that. Be still and know. Be still and. Be still. Be. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be still. Be still and know that I am God.
All right, that is Songwalk founder, author, songwriter, and a bit of a singing steward, I think. Really took us on a neat journey there. Don Prisby with a piece called Be Still, an original work composed and performed right here to provide a musical backdrop to vocation, the first of six stages of faith we're going to be exploring here in season four of the Song Walk Echoes podcast, and specifically discussing how these six stages show up in the Lord's Prayer. As a reminder, all of our Song Walk episodes, just like everything in the Song Walk Echoes platform, are presented through four dimensions of music, art, story, and scripture. And true to form, Don, you answered the call with that piece there. Wow, that is so beautiful, so simple. Tell us about it.
In some regards, as I look back on writing that, it feels like Lectio Divina, where we just take one phrase and reflect on it. And as the listener saw, each time I repeated it, I took a word off. And it made that phrase completely different. Mm-hmm. And it was powerful just to see that as a concept. But the more and more I sing that, every phrase has a different dimension of the Father. You know, be still and know that I am God. Or be still and know.
Yeah.
Be.
Yeah.
And yet it feels like the love of a parent to their baby. You can almost see a mother or father holding their child and singing that to them.
Yeah.
And imagine God Almighty holding us that way.
Yeah.
And just saying, be still and know that I am God. It's from Psalm 46.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, I don't know if singing steward is really a term, but the idea of is when you were singing it, I felt like I was being, you know, I was looking for some kind of alliteration there in the moment, so that's the steward thing. It might be better words, but I did feel like I was being guided. I felt like I was being, you know, not just a passive listener, but I was actually almost being, again, guided and challenged in a good way to really reflect and process the same lyric in different ways. And I think your analogy to a parent is also in the sense that as parents, fathers and mothers, that's what we do for our kids. We don't just sort of set the stage and make sure that they're safe and just provide the basics. We're stewarding them. We're teaching them. We're helping them through things. So I think in the same way, I hate to call music instructional,
right?
But that's kind of what that song was, and I think that's what I hear as a comparison also to that parental father child kind of thing, mm-hmm.
And for a listener hearing that song for the first time, they may be thinking, well, that's verse one. Well, where's verse two? And then verse three, and where's the bridge?
Yeah.
But no, it's why is he dropping off a word every time?
Mm-hmm.
And structurally, that might be confusing at first. But the more you listen to it, the more, again, every phrase is loaded with its own meaning.
Yeah.
And I can't. Look, that's inspiration.
Yeah. Well, and I think also back to the, as we are now taking the Lord's Prayer and sort of dissecting it reverently here and making connections back to these six faith stages. And we talk about vocation and being called and the simpleness of that song, which like you say, it's a psalm. It actually predates Jesus.
Yes.
But the vocation of it is, you know what? Be still and know. Like, that's it. There's your vocation. You know what I mean?
Wow. So it has an element of vocation in it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, like, that's the job.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, we'll get more to vocation and the connections back to Lord's Prayer. But before we do, let's get to our art. And I just, when I saw your show notes come through on this one, Don, I got so excited because the art, which everybody can see if you go to the thumbnail for this episode, a wonderfully familiar painting from Rembrandt, Fancy Pants, and it's The Return of the Prodigal Son. Okay, way back in 1669, hanging here in the Hermitage Museum in St. Petersburg. But it's just obviously there's the story of the Prodigal Son has been literally illustrated in many different ways. But tell us why you chose this particular rendition of it, if you will, and how it's going to help us really get centered on this notion of vocation in the Lord's Prayer.
It certainly evokes compassion when you see that. And that story should have been just called The Loving Father, not The Prodigal Son. Because, you know, while it is about the son, and then there's the second son that we examine sometimes, but it's the father who was faithfully waiting and just had a great celebration when this prodigal son returned. Mm-hmm. And we see that in that painting with the dark hues and the purple and just this compassion and welcome back of the father. Mm-hmm. And what a wonderful image for us to consider as now we move forward to looking at the Lord's Prayer and the wonder that we would call God Almighty our Father, mm-hmm. and who would love us that much.
Yeah.
Especially as we'll see contraposed to the other notions of God in the other religious traditions of that time. Mm-hmm. It's even more powerful.
Yeah, well, and I love the suggestion that we maybe rename this thing The Loving Father, because as I have spent time reflecting on this particular illustration of the story, also as I'm you know, kind of praying over how we're now going to make this connection back to vocation, is that the vocation, okay, the calling of everybody in this painting, okay, not only the prodigal son, but like you say, the other son, and then if you look really, really, really hard behind the father, there's more people in this painting, you know, farm staff or, you know, whatever. And there's even, if you look really, really closely, there's even more people way in the back, almost as if they're peering through a window. And so to me, the way I, you know, now connecting it back to what we're talking about here is that this vocation is not even, and why the prodigal son as a title for this is a little, it's a little flat. It's like, it implies that it's a one-to-one, that it's between the prodigal son and the father, right? Which is wonderful,
yes. You know,
but it's not, but this notion of vocation is not singular, you know, it's communal. We all have this. Everybody in this painting has all been called.
Yes. Yes, and we'll experience that in the Lord's Prayer too, that yeah. we'll note it's not called the My Father.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
That we're not as Romano Guardini would say, you know, we're not the only children. We're not an only child.
Yeah.
We're part of a family,
yeah.
and it's the Our Father. So you're seeing that, Jeff, in the Rembrandt painting. It's the community welcoming mm-hmm. back the Son with the Father, and in the Lord's Prayer too. As we pray the Our Father,
yeah,
it's we pray for the entire church.
Yeah, and the victory, if you will, of the prodigal son, you know, coming home is, it's not. It isn't just his victory. It's not just his victory, and it's not just the father's victory. It's like it's everybody's. It's every, and that's why, you know, we're gonna have celebration because they're home. And then similarly, when we do fall away, and we do, you know, which we are, we're sinners. You know, it's not just our sin. You know, it's not just our like we're tearing away at the fabric of all of
yes.
the faithful when
yep.
we sin. And so that I just think that. That story in that particular image is just so powerful in so many ways.
Yes, and again, the plurality of the Lord's Prayer, we see Our Father, but we also see, give us this day
yeah.
our Lord, forgive us our sins, you know, deliver us from evil.
Yeah.
There's a community in that prayer.
Yeah, totally. Community and the common vocation here. So transitioning then to Scripture, we have a passage which is going to be, hopefully for all listeners, hopefully this one's going to ring a bell to everybody here. So this is from Matthew 6, verses 9 through 16. But in all seriousness, I'm going to read this very quickly. And for those that aren't boned up, like I'm not. So if I just said, hey, Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, a lot of people, including myself, would be like, okay, I can't wait for you to finally read this because I want to know what it is. And I do remember years ago, thankfully, but I do remember being made aware that these words were actually explicitly in the Bible, explicitly stated, and not just fashioned years after the time of Jesus into something that is very familiar. So here it comes, everybody. Verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So, duh. So there's the Lord's Prayer. And so it wasn't just something fashioned out of, hey, we should probably have a prayer that everybody knows, but it was actually literally from the mouth of Jesus when asked how to pray. So, I mean, obviously, it's kind of like, so Don, how did you think of this one? But tell us why, though, you intentionally, because you could argue that this piece of scripture could have been applied anywhere throughout season 4, as we're reflecting on the Lord's Prayer. But why did you choose this faith dimension of vocation to be aligned with, in total here, the Lord's Prayer?
Well, as we get started in examining that prayer, it was helpful to know where it came from
yeah.
and the nuances of that. And I should have looked more contextually within the Gospel of Matthew of when in the journey did that happen, because I'm sure that would yield some light.
Mm.
And I'll take the responsibility for doing that at some point. Like, how long were they with him before they said, Lord, teach us to pray?
Mm.
You know, and what was just immediately following that?
Yeah.
A person should have the context, so I regret not knowing that. But, you know, there's a request from his disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus gives them these words, and they're not just words, it's an ethic. It's a way to be. And the more that in this in this season together, as we unpack it, we'll see that it is an epic. It's an ethic that we should embrace. Mm-hmm. Much like when we get married, we say, I do. Those are two words. But aren't they an ethic?
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. I will. I am. You know, are all encompassed in those two little words. Mm-hmm. Well, in the Lord's Prayer, there's so much there. So to introduce it this early in our season was important. We'll discuss the dynamic of vocation, how that is expressed in the first two words, our Father.
Yeah.
And yet, before we get to that, we'll have some reflections of context and implication from some great authors as well, mm-hmm. that kind of frame up the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So let's segue to that, because I have thought about, and as we've in past seasons talked about vocation, okay, and a lot of people, you know, have different definitions of that. They think, well, vocation, that's my job. You know, I'm a truck driver. That's my vocation. And so, but as we've been discussing vocation here on the podcast and within the Catholic faith, it takes a much deeper, you know, meaning of why we're even just here. And so let's segue into that. How does this notion of vocation in those two words in the start of the Lord's Prayer really set the, it's almost this universal vocation of everybody who prays it, everybody who follows is in this relationship, like we're called to live in a relationship with the Father.
Right. Well, we'll address the notion of vocation not from a perspective of career or avocation or hobby that I have, mm-hmm. or skills that I might have, or a thing that I do, including religious life. But we'll look at it from its very basic etymology of vocare. How are we called? And I think we've already demonstrated that in our lives, Jeff, we're called many times. Mm-hmm. We're called to marriage, and we're called many times in marriage about what being married looks like. Or we are called to be Catholic and called to be baptized as priest, prophet, and king, and yet called many, many other times. You know, the implications of that call are many. So mm-hmm. vocation continues to come back. So we'll look at the notion of vocation from the sense of calling. And as I said, I saw the six stages of vocation, conversion, mission, transformation, providence, and gratitude in the Lord's Prayer. And this is where I saw vocation in the first two words, our Father. And we need to stop and think of the words, because normally we'll say, our Father, who art in heaven. Okay, stop just saying, our.
Yeah.
The word our infers calling, because our is a relationship. Our to what? Our to one another. So in order for me as an individual to claim the word our, I have to have been called into something, called into a relationship,
yeah.
our family, or called into a community, our parish, or called into the humanity of the world, our humanity.
Yeah.
So our, by its very nature, infers vocation. We are called from being an individual into something. So when we say just our itself, it implies vocation. Father, even more so. Mm. Now I'm in a filial relationship with the Lord, with God as a adopted son. So that is also a call, a calling into. Now we experience that formally in our faith at baptism. We're baptized into the family of God. We're baptized as adopted sons of the Father with Jesus. We are anointed as priest, prophet, and king. We are brought into relationship. We are called in. So by the very first two words of the Lord's Prayer, our Father, the notion of vocation, of you are called in relationship with one another, and you are called in relationship with me, God Almighty, mm-hmm. as your Father. That's exciting.
Yeah.
So when we ponder the notion of vocation, just the first two words of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, indicates that we are called into community.
Yeah.
And our authors will support that.
Yeah. Well, and one of those authors is Pope Francis, I think it was.
Yes.
Who wrote about actually the... it's kind of the counter to being adopted and being orphaned. And so tell us about that piece and how it, you know, from a, I don't want to say from a negative space, but how does that also support and almost kind of compel/demand this attention to vocation of being called and being in service to that state of being an adopted child of God?
Yes. Well, the three authors or the three sources that we're going to bring into this fourth season are Pope Francis, who wrote a book in 2017 called Our Father, Reflections on the Lord's Prayer. So we'll be bringing insights into that. The other author is Romano Guardini, who wrote a book in 1932. So we have 2017, and then insight from 1932. The reason why that's important is Romano Guardini was a mentor to the cardinal before he became the pope, and the cardinal was about to actually do a doctoral dissertation on Romano Guardini's thought. So they're very influenced. Francis was influenced by Romano Guardini. And then the third source is the Catechism of the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. its recent edition promulgated in 2000, when was that? Well, recently, by John Paul II, 1997. So those are the teaching authority of which we're using to address this very precious prayer. Pope Francis, his mentor, and the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Not a bad foundation.
Not a bad, no.
But when I look at those, Francis is so compassionate and warm about his thoughts, and Guardini is very theologically precise, and then the catechism is very instructive. So mm-hmm. we have three different styles going on, mm-hmm. which is exciting. So back to your question, yes, Pope Francis provides us the context for the Lord's Prayer in contemporary manner, and we see that around us, and he's talking about that the world is sick with orphanism. And that there's an orphanhood that we're experiencing, and he attributes that to the role of men in families, that society seems recently to kind of disregarded the man as the leader of the family. You know, society's got all kinds of perceptions about everything right now, but man has been kind of dismissed as important in family, and the Pope sees that. But he also sees that some men have also embraced a sense of isolation from their families and children. They get so wrapped up in their work and their own hobbies and interests that they neglect taking care of their families as a father would and should. So he brings that perspective forward right away in addressing the impact of the Our Father. But he's also indicating that, you know, we are adopted children through Christ. And as Jesus said in John, I will not leave you orphaned. Mm-hmm. I will not leave you orphaned.
Right.
So we are challenged by the Holy Father to take our responsibility as fathers seriously. And we'll see the characteristics of Father through the Lord's Prayer as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's just, and I can't wait as we go through the rest of the season too, just to continue to come back to these other, you know, writings, and like you say, the catechism, which is so wonderfully instructional. You know, it's like mm-hmm. a user's guide, you know, and with just such relevant, like, application. But I do think that to start off with that, what Pope Francis talks about is important, because I think it personalizes it a lot, I think, for people to be like, first of all, there's a level of, you know, and I think sometimes when we talk about vocation, you know, we can have this sense of like duty, responsibility. Like I have to know my calling, I have to do my calling, I have to live my calling. But, you know, what personalized the way Pope Francis talks about it as us being, we're called to be sons and daughters of God. That's and so part of that is to let ourselves be adopted, like to come and to trust that, and then as a child, then yeah, there's things you do as a child to, you know, play the role of a good child, you know, but the first part of it is just to accept the fact that you are a child. We are children of God, and I think that's the first step to accepting your vocation, is to know what it is.
Yes. You know? Well, in this and other teachings, Pope Francis is very communal, you know, including in his 2020 book, Let Us Dream, was about how can we walk together and look for the truth that might be just beyond both of us. So let's be in that dialogue that seeks for truth. And here he's, again, not moralizing or finger wagging. He's just identifying that, you know, we need to be fathers and men in our families. And equally, as you said, Jeff, we also need to be children of the Father and embrace that identity as well.
How you've done so much studying, Don, obviously through within the Catholic tradition, but you're also you're a voracious reader, and just you're kind of annoying in the fact that you just continue to want to learn about stuff. So can you just talk a little bit about how this adoptive, you know, kind of love, adapted, you know, the relationship with the Father. How unique is that to Christianity, Catholicism, you know, when you think of other religions out there that you've studied up on?
It's really astounding that we would, as the Church says, dare to say our Father. Yeah. It's really astounding, because really nowhere in religious tradition is that intimacy so well articulated. You know, as Jesus called his Father Abba, which in the Greek means daddy, you know, we're invited to call God the Almighty, the creator of the universe, Father. That's very unusual. And it's very unusual in the big picture. I mean, at the time, I mean, I did a couple of years of study with a local Jewish temple, you know, and they won't even articulate the word Yahweh, right? Or they would call him Adonai, Lord, or Hashem, other words, but not Yahweh. It's not even written out in that tradition. So even today, there's a great respect for God the Creator of not even using his name.
Yeah.
But we can...
And here we're starting with it.
Yeah, and here we can do that. But, you know, Guardini shows a great... great examples of that in the contemporary time of Jesus's time, where you had the Greeks who were well developed in terms of their thought, and they had various gods. They had Zeus, you know, Athena, but Zeus, who is all powerful and mighty and dangerous, right? And then you had the Romans had many gods. Jupiter was their big god. So there was this sense of distance. And then in the ancient Germans and the Norse mythology, which was second century before the Common Era, and as far as the Vikings, they had a Wotan god, who again was this war god and god of disarray, but we have a god that we can call Father. Yeah. So it's very unusual in a couple of ways. One is many of the societies were polytheistic; there were many gods, and yet, you know, in Judaism, there was one God, God the Almighty, and then in Christianity and Catholicism, we have the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in one. Yeah. So that's even a more unusual. But look at Moses, even in the Hebrew tradition. Moses was not able to see God face to face. So even in Jesus's tradition, the idea of a God being intimate was not the norm. You know, God said, "Do not come near me," in Exodus. That he wasn't able to even see God. Mm-hmm. But Jesus, through Jesus, we're invited to call God our Father.
Yeah.
Very unusual. And yet we take it for granted.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah, right. So before we scoot on then to our next Faith Dynamic, Don, why don't you wrap us up here with this, what we like to call our Song Walk Echo Point, where you leave us with one thing now, as we've been talking about vocation, the Lord's Prayer. What's one thing we can carry with us until the next time we get together on the podcast?
Well, at the last episode, we challenged ourselves to get ready to pray this prayer all together in the first place, to adopt some kind of humility, to come to the prayer in calling God Almighty our Father. And this week, let's think about our own fathers, and let's appreciate them, and let's spend some reflection time thanking them, praying for them, and looking at their example, even though they're human just like you and I are and are not perfect. But what are the ways that they may have said to us, "Be still and know that I am your Father"?
That's great. I love it. Well, thank you, Don, and thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And stay tuned for our next episode of the Song Walk Echoes podcast. And in the meantime, keep a song walk in your own heart for the beauty and the brilliance of our Catholic faith.
You've been listening to the Song Walk Echoes podcast. For small group resources related to this podcast and more, visit songwalkechoes.com.